Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts. Close my eyes and leap. It's time to try defying gravity. I think I'll try defying gravity, and you can't pull me down.
Can't I make you understand? You're having delusions of grandeur.
I'm through accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love. I guess I've lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost. I'd sooner go.
All right. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Sorry about that. We had a little bit of a lag. Welcome back to a new Discali episode. If you are aware of what I was just playing to introduce the show today, that is Defying Gravity by Cynthia Erivo featuring Ariana Grande on the latest release of the soundtrack, Wicked, that accompanies, obviously, the movie, the much-anticipated movie, Wicked. if you didn't know, I am quite a musical fan myself. I absolutely love everything to do with musicals, and Wicked is one of my favorite musicals, which is why I wanted to open with a little snippet from the Wicked soundtrack that was just released today. But I do want to do my little introduction. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Discali. Before we get into it, I do want to acknowledge that CITR is live and broadcasting off of the unceded, traditional, and ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Coast Salish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. It is November 22nd, 2024, just a little bit past 11 in the morning. It is a very gray day here in Vancouver today. Usually I'm really optimistic when it's like really sunny and it's, you know, some fun light is coming into the studio, and you know, everything's looking good, like the vibes are good, everyone's happy, but it's a little bit gray today. However, needless to say, it is a very happy day today. I have a lot of things in store today for us to talk about, as well as an interview with Emblematics that I was able to record earlier this week. And yeah, it was super fun to have them, and we're going to get into that interview a little bit later. And I guess I can just say now, today we have Emblematics as our discovered artist of the week. And we'll be going through, the Discali, you know, the Discali show run through, that we always do with our mainstream artist and then our discovered artist. Now on that note, if you are new here on Discali and you do not know how the show works and how it runs, basically for about half of the show, I want to definitely keep it half today because our interview is on the longer side. For about half of the show, I talk about a mainstream artist, I talk about their discography, their genres, their music. I basically just run you through everything that has to do with them, and I try to focus on one specific album. We talk about the album, we talk about what we think, how we feel, any popular songs that came out of the album. We talk about vinyl record pressings, we also talk about concerts. And then we move on to our discovered artist of the week, who is usually an artist that I like. I think that they resemble our mainstream artists, kind of providing you guys that platform and that segue to discover this new artistry. And yeah, hopefully you like it, which is always, it's always my job for you guys to discover new music here on Discali. Before we get into it, I do want to do a little bit of a shout out for New Music Friday. It is Friday today, so there's a bunch of new drops today. One very notable one that I obviously opened up with. The Wicked soundtrack has now dropped on all streaming platforms. We have incredible singers such as Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande. We also have, Michelle Yeoh from Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. She's also known for so many more movies, but I know that's one of her main ones. Michelle Yeoh's obviously in The Wizard and I. We also have Jonathan Bailey. I think he's from Bridgerton. I think most people know him from Bridgerton. And yeah, there's so many awesome features, so much new music. Obviously, Wicked is one of the notable ones. We also had a surprise drop today from Kendrick Lamar with his new album. I think it's, I want to say Jinx, but it's GNX. But when I read it as Jinx. But surprise album drop from Kendrick Lamar, which is always super, super exciting. We also had some like middle of the day like releases, if that makes sense. Not middle of the day, middle of the week. We had Mocha Only, who I actually did for a past Discali episode, which is super fun. Shawn Mendes also dropped his album, I'm pretty sure, last week. I did forget to mention that. And then, yeah. And then we have a bunch of anniversary releases as well. I know Whitney Houston's doing an anniversary release as well as TLC. But yeah, that's basically all I have for you guys in store today for New Music Friday. Let's get into the show. I have, like I said, I have an awesome lineup today with an interview, as well as a pretty amazing band to talk about. And today that band will be Beach House. I feel like Beach House has been around for a while. I never really got into them until I think early university, because of, I'll tell you guys a little story, but in early university, I kind of got more into their music. I knew of them beginning of my high school experience, so I think that was like 2015, 2016, because of the album that we will be talking about today. And then it wasn't until I went over to my friend's house in UVic that she had this ginormous poster that was just red. It was literally just red. And it said Beach House, and then it said Depression Cherry. And I was just like, oh, like, that's so interesting. Like, why is it just red? And then that's when I figured out the album cover is basically just red. But the music in it is obviously so much more intricate than just a pure red cover. But yes, Beach House is the band that we will be talking about today. And Depression Cherry is the album that we will be analyzing today. So Beach House was formed in 2004. Like I said, they've been around for a while and currently still active in Baltimore, Maryland. Maryland, in the U.S. So they are based out of Baltimore. It consists of three band members such as Victoria LeGrand, Alex Scaly or Scully, and James Barone. They wanted to be named something odd. Like when they were coming up with the name of their band, they wanted to be named a little bit something odd, something kind of quirky. And there was mention of calling the band Beach Party on the Moon, which kind of gives me the same vibe as Panic at the Disco, when it's like a really long, kind of not like a longer name for an artist or for a band, but Beach Party at the Moon. But at the time, they did have already a song called House on the Hill. And so they decided to just, I guess, merge both of them. And they came up with Beach House, which is honestly like now they're just known as Beach House, which is awesome. They do dabble in genres such as indie pop, indie rock, shoegaze, and dream pop. I think their main two are definitely dream pop and shoegaze. You can just, in any Beach House song, you can just immediately clock that that's what they do. And that's the genre that they're masters at. They are signed to Car Park Records in New York City, which makes them an independent band. I always tell this to people and I'll reiterate it, but when a band calls themselves indie, it means independent, which means that their record label, or usually what they're signed as, signed to, or sometimes they're not even signed. It just means that they're not affiliated with any like major record labels such as Sony Entertainment, such as Atlantic Records, such as Warner Brothers. They are an independent artist. So it's usually like a lot smaller. And it can be harder sometimes for independent artists to get a platform because they don't exactly have the promotion ability to put their name out there as much. And so, yeah, most of the time it's up to them and they're a little bit more condensed team compared to other record labels. And they are characterized for not collaborating with that many artists. Usually mainstream artists do like a bunch of collaborations. Either they show up as a featured artist on a song, or either they will have featured artists on their own songs. But if you look at most of their albums, it's mostly just them. They don't exactly I don't think it's not that they don't like collaborations. I think they just like have been able to cater their sound to what they want. And that has been working for them. And I think that's like one of the main reasons why I think they stick to that track. But yeah, they have so many albums. Like, let's count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 albums so far since 2004. Starting off with Beach House, the self-titled album in 2006. We have Devotion from 2008, Teen Dream in 2010, Bloom in 2012, and then of course Depression Cherry in 2015. Think Your Lucky Star in 2015 as well, in the same year. We have Seven in 2018 and Once Twice Melody in 2022. So if we look at this pattern of in the first couple of years, it was a 2-year difference from every release. And then there was a bit of a switch from 2 to 3, and then COVID hit and it became from 3 to 4 years. So we could expect maybe an album tease soon. Hopefully, maybe that'd be cool. But yeah, so they have a bunch of albums, and I think there's no reason why they would stop. So hopefully they keep coming and releasing new music for us to listen to. I'm now going to introduce the album of the week, which is obviously Depression Cherry. It was released on August 28th of 2015, so a couple of years ago. It's crazy to have to say that was 9 years ago. 2015 does not seem that long ago, but yet here we are in 2024. It was recorded under Sub Pop Records, so a couple of different independent record labels that they're signed to. And the producers are Beach House themselves and Chris Cody. And it is under the genre of dream pop, synth pop, and unfortunately, yet again, on most streaming platforms, their album is labeled under alternative. Again, if you don't know, I have a little bit of a bone to pick when people just, or like when streaming platforms just put albums as alternative, because it usually means that like there's so many genres in the album that they can't make up their minds on making one, like labeling it one specific one, so they just put it as alternative, which they're not wrong. It is alternative music, but I feel like if they put dream pop as a main genre, that would make more sense than alternative, because it just, I don't know, it doesn't really capture what the album actually is. But it is what it is. They released 3 singles with the album, the first one being Sparks, the second one being PPP, and then the third one being Beyond Love. Yes, surprising enough, if you know Depression Cherry, one of the most popular, if not the most popular songs off of this album is called Space Song. And no, that song was never made into a single. For those who don't know, by meaning of making it into a single, it usually means that they re-release it or they pre-release it as a song itself, as a single song. So instead of it being only found within the album, it can be found as a single itself. So they did not do that, which is interesting because it ended up being a very beloved song everywhere in the world. And we'll get into that song a little bit more and the details behind it, and also its resurfacing of the song lately. I think it was in 2022 or 2023 that a TV show put it in one of their scenes, and it just blew up yet again. But yeah, so Depression Cherry was actually written during a time of uncertainty for the future within the band and a creative block. Which they don't exactly like say that that's what the reason why they called the album Depression Cherry, but I kind of view it like that. I kind of view it as in like you're in this kind of, not depression, but in this kind of like pessimist view of your future, and you're uncertain of what's to come, which is I guess where like the depressed aesthetic of it comes in. And then we have the cherry, which is kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel, if that makes sense. But yeah, so that's a little bit of an overview of Beach House and Depression Cherry, the album. We'll get into the first song today, which I want to play Sparks. I want to see what you guys think about Sparks. We'll move down the track list a little bit, and we'll play some more music, give our opinions, and then move on to our interview for today. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Beach House with Sparks.
Yeah. ZZ Theatre presents the Rainbow Youth Project, produced by Yanting Chu and curated by Brittany O'Rourke, Alan Pronger, and Bria Chance. This annual community storytelling project centers the 2S LGBTQ plus voices who often don't get a say in their lives, bodies, and identities. Bringing two-spirit, queer, and trans youth from across Metro Vancouver to share their stories. The Rainbow Storytelling Project is a low-barrier, one-on-one project in which people share true stories from their lives. It is designed to challenge stereotypes and preconceived notions of otherness, promote dialogue, reduce prejudices, and encourage understanding by connecting people who, under normal circumstances, might never meet. The Rainbow Youth Project will be running on dates November 16th, 17th, the 23rd and 24th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Vancouver Public Library Central Branch on the third floor. This is a free event with no sign-up required. All that is necessary is your attendance and your empathy.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CATR 101.9 FM Vancouver. And this is Discali. That was Beach House with Sparks. I think it's just such a beautiful song. Like I mentioned, this album was written during a time of kind of like a creative block for the band, as well as uncertainty for the future. And we can really see that in Sparks. It kind of like shows us what they were thinking, what they were going through, as well as the emotions that they wanted to portray within this song. And I think it really emphasizes the idea that no matter where you are and what you're doing, everyone has the potential to continue pushing forward and making something good out of like your life, and kind of like never giving up. It kind of reminded me a bit of like the message behind Sparks by Coldplay, just that I think that Sparks by Coldplay is more about like the love spark than more of like a interpersonal and intrapersonal spark within the relationship that you have with your own life, which is really cool. I think the bridge really captures the idea and the feelings that they put into the song, especially with the lyrics, the "you go to school, you follow all the rules, you live inside, realize there's something in your eyes, and you're back again. It kind of emphasizes how even when it seems that there's no hope left, one can rise out of kind of like an abyss of hopelessness and live again, which is really cool. And also, like, the song does start off, like, a little bit, like, weird and intricate, like, some complex noise in the back. And it kind of, like, tips you off a little bit. But I guess it kind of provides that feeling of discomfort that one can feel when there's no hope. And then we have the whole production and the vocals kind of come in a couple seconds later. And it's nice because it kind of wraps everything up quite nicely. Moving down the track list from the songs that I do want to play, I obviously do want to play none other than Space Song itself. It is such a wonderful song, such a beautiful song. And to give some context, yes, because I know I mentioned it before, Space Song did have a little bit of an appearance on the somewhat recent TV show Wednesday, Netflix series. There is a scene where I think it's either like a concluding scene or kind of like a scene where, like, Wednesday gives, like, a bit of a monologue, and she kind of, I think she doesn't know what to do, or she kind of has, like, come to accept what is going on in her life and how, like, it's a crazy, like, murder mystery kind of thing. And then you can just kind of hear, you'll hear the beginning of the song. You can kind of hear that start of the music come in, and then once they, like, pan out into, like, a whole, like, landscape view, that's when the beat drops and it goes, doo, 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 doo. Anyway. I won't spoil the song for those who don't know it, but I'll just play it right now, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little bit. You listen to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Space Song by Beach House. Thank you. Welcome back. That was Space Song by Beach House off of the album Depression Cherry. It is such a beautiful song. It is quite wonderful. Let's talk about it quickly a little bit before we go into the vinyl pressings, as well as their tours, and wrap up one more song. It is actually like so incredible to see how they were actually able to recreate the feeling of kind of like a universal galaxy spatial feeling of kind of like floating in outer space, which is kind of really like the sentiments that I have and the feelings that I have behind artists being able to recreate a feeling that some of us have never even experienced before, which is like that of being in the universe, is quite astonishing. Because we hear, like, obviously, like, we hear the do-do-do-do-do. I think the main instrument behind this song is a keyboard, as well as synth noises that are able to provide this feeling of a spatial awareness and floating within this space. But also, there's, like, one part in the song where very much they mimic the sound of... the first thing I thought of was, did anyone ever play Mario Galaxy? Mario Galaxy 1 and Mario Galaxy 2, whenever you're in space or like kind of like floating throughout space, there's a very specific soundtrack that they would play, and it would make you feel like you are in the game, you are part of that galaxy. And there's a section in the song where I was very much like, whoa, this sounds like Mario Galaxy. Like, I know it's not like they're not copying Mario Galaxy, but I love that it's that universal knowledge that these are the instruments and this is the production to use to be able to make the audience feel like they're in the galaxy, which is super cool. Space Song, there's this really cool message behind it. And the way I interpret it, I guess, a little bit as well, is kind of like, it feels like the universe is kind of like falling into place, as in like it's working in your favor, but at the same time, everything is like slowly falling apart. Which is a little bit of a contradiction, but like, it's kind of like this feeling of acceptance that like, when some things are working out, some other things may not be working out. Kind of like that saying, the in with the new, out with the old, right? Like, to make room for new things, you have to like get rid of the old things, which is kind of like how I interpret it, which is obviously, it's very much up to the person and up to the listener to interpret this song. And that's the best part about music, is that everyone can feel differently about a song. But yeah, so going on to the vinyl record pressings off of this album, they didn't have like too many. There's obviously the standard black pressing. There was a red pressing before Urban Outfitters re-released most of Beach House's albums on vinyl records. And they did like this kind of aluminum foil front album cover for the gatefold, and then inside was like this really thick quality transparent red. I really actually wanted to buy this album when there was a sale at Urban Outfitters, but unfortunately I was not quick enough and someone grabbed it and snatched it in front of my face, and I was so sad, because I think instead of it being $40, it would have been $25. It was quite the sale, I'm not gonna lie, but unfortunately I was not able to get it. But that's okay, because I still have streaming platforms to be able to enjoy their music. As for tours, they haven't actually gone on a like major tour in a minute. They are playing mostly festivals right now. Some of their upcoming tour dates are June 6, 2025 in Primavera Sound, as well as June 12, 2025 and June 14th, 2025 in Nos Primavera Sound Festival, which is different than Primavera Sound because one of them is Barcelona and one of them is in Porto District. So yeah, if you didn't know that, I didn't know that. It's something new. The last song I do want to play for you guys off of Depression Cherry before we move on to our interview is just a little bit of a smaller song on the shorter side, because I know most songs off of Depression Cherry are a little bit on the longer side, and it's called Bluebird. I'm not super into this song, but why not? It's always nice to listen to music. You listen to Discali, and this is Bluebird by Beach House. Thank you.
lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
Hey there! Do you like sweet and sentimental stories and songs?
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're going to love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life, a sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
All right, welcome back. That was just a little bit of a snippet of Bluebird from Beach House. I did have to cut it a little bit short just to interrupt this program and talk about a missing person that we're trying to look for right now by the name of Joseph Maku. Surrey Austin PR requesting the public to please assist on locating 18-year-old Joseph Maku, who was reported missing on October 23rd, 2024. He was last seen on October 22nd, 2024 on 9600 block off of 130th Street in Surrey. Police and family are concerned for Joseph's health and well-being. He's described as a 18-year-old male, 6'5", 200 pounds, with black hair and brown eyes. He was seen in a black hoodie, a black North Delta Husky basketball shorts, and a black and white basketball shoes. If anyone has information on the whereabouts of Joseph, please contact the Surrey RCMP at 604-599-0502. And quote file 2024-157805. If you have any information about Joseph's whereabouts, please contact Surrey RCMP. Back to our show. We are now moving into our Discovered Artist of the Week, which is Emblematics. I have this awesome interview for you guys ready to go. I pre-recorded this on Wednesday with lead singer Mike. And yeah, I'll just kind of let you guys listen to it. This is our little interview for you guys. Oliver from Discali here at CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and I have this interview that I have gotten the honor to do today. We are here with Emblematics, our lead singer, and we will just kind of be having a little interview. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, honestly. It's always exciting to have, have the band come on, or at least you to, talk about your music, talk about your album, talk about everything that's been going on right now lately, because I know you guys have been up and busy, doing a lot of things. It's such a privilege to have you here and talk about your music a little bit more before we show the audience some songs off of your latest album.
Yeah, thanks for having us today. It's awesome.
Of course. So I do have a couple questions, actually, that I have catered to ask you because I'm very intrigued. I absolutely, really, really found myself liking the latest album, Removal. And during the writing process of your music, do you find yourself inspired by the smaller details or like the bigger vision? And how can you apply this with your recent album?
It was probably a bit of both with this last record. We tried to make a pretty detailed sounding recording. It's an art rock record, so there are a lot of sort of intricate arrangements and lots of different parts. And we really tried to focus on making each song its own sort of unique soundscape. Tried to make it like a headphones record, so if you listen with earphones, you'd be hearing lots of different details. And so we tried to focus on the little things, but definitely kept our eye on the bigger picture too.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I realized off of this album is that it's very experimental. There's a lot of layers in different sounds, different vocals in your harmonies, I think. I found that to be the most intricate ones. It actually, the first thing that popped into my head, because I know you guys have had some inspiration off of bands such as Blur and Radiohead, but I found myself comparing a lot of like the way you guys produce your music to U2. I grew up listening to a lot of U2 because my dad, and it was kind of like nice to hear how different bands can also have like similar production, but still with the same twist that the Emblematics were able to put on your latest album, which I think is really cool, because I fear that sometimes people can have or can be a little bit scared in getting a bit experimental with different sounds and different approaches to creative vision. But you guys seem to have just had a really nice flow throughout this album.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to push our own limits a little bit with this record. I mean, in the end, there's still songs that I wrote on an acoustic guitar. They're still essentially like little pop songs,
mm-hmm.
with good melodies, but we definitely tried to make them interesting and tried to make the song sound different, certainly different than what we've recorded in our past releases. And I grew up listening to U2, definitely when I was a kid, and The Edge, he has so many different effects running through his guitar, so many delays and different textures to his guitar playing, so I'm sure that influenced us to some degree. I definitely can't sing like Bono, though, but U2 definitely is a great band. At least their older stuff, for sure.
Yes.
They influenced us a great deal.
Yeah, no. I will say, though, your vocals are quite astonishing on this album. I really like the way it complements the flow of the music. It kind of, there's a couple songs where it kind of feels like a bit of an echo to the production, which it's a really nice compliment to it, and it kind of just wraps everything up with a nice little bow on it. Yeah. But on that note, I do want to ask you that when it comes to writing your lyrics and your storytelling, where do you find your main source when it comes to that aspect of making music? Is it mainly a personal process that members of the band can collaborate on, or is it more of a group effort with like jamming sessions and you guys sit down and, you know, have a good time together?
Well, for this particular record, I wrote all the tracks, and lyrically, I read somewhere to write about what you know, and I wrote a lot about reconnection with this record. Just trying to reconnect with my roots and my cultural background, and so that was kind of the theme of this record, is just trying to deal with sort of a loss of identity that I feel like I've kind of experienced over the years. That's like it made its way through a lot of the songs in this record.
Interesting, yeah, because I know you just mentioned right now removal, that like this whole concept and it actually being named removal, but also the fact that you are looking into reconnection. I feel like it's just like this good contrast between trying to be reconnected with your roots, as you just mentioned, while at the same time still, you know, touching all of these different aspects of sometimes having a bit of a loss and confusion of a connection that you have with your roots, which I think is really cool on how you were able to explore that.
Yeah, I think that's something that people could relate to. Just the idea of maybe, you know, we live in Canada, it's a very cultural society, and sometimes you can lose track of your own cultural background over the years. And I just felt, I guess when I wrote this record, it was something that kind of spoke to me at the time. And the album title certainly reflected, I guess, what I was going through at that point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know. We were just talking about this a little bit before I actually started recording today. How long has it been since your past tour? And I know you just recently played in Vancouver at KW Studios, and you do have this final show coming up on Saturday in Edmonton, Alberta, which is super exciting. But what is there for your audience to expect next? Is there anything that you're trying to bring on this last show in Edmonton, or are you like looking to, you know, put not exactly like wrap it up and put it in the books of, you know, your album, but is there anything else you have in the works, anything exciting planned, or mainly just really focusing on your upcoming show in Alberta?
Yeah, well, we've had a great fun time this fall. We did a Canadian tour, and we're at Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. We did a hometown show in Calgary, and Vancouver was great. About a week ago, we played, as you mentioned, and it was really fun. Our show, I think it is more just the finale of this sort of album cycle for us. Mm-hmm. We'll be playing tracks off our new record. And Edmonton's actually my hometown. That's where I was born and raised. So it's always fun to go back and see friends at my high school and stuff like that. So it's always cool to be back there. But it is sort of the finale for this particular period. And I think after the Edmonton show, we'll have one more show in Calgary in the winter. And then we'll probably be looking at recording hopefully something new for 2025.
Oh, that's amazing. I always love when artists kind of, you know, wrap up a project. And it's interesting because we don't really get to know exactly what the band is thinking or what the band is, you know, having in the works or in the vision, but it's just super cool to always know that they're cooking something up and it's all behind the scenes, and then next thing you know, they're releasing like a little teaser or a single or something that comes with it, and then it's just like a nice little surprise because you're still so involved in this past music or in this current album that you guys have. While you never know, it's like something can just come out of nowhere, which is always super exciting.
I will say though, I haven't written a note yet.
Oh, you haven't written a note? Yeah, you know what?
Hopefully soon.
Honestly, like definitely like focus on everything that's going on right now. I always tell people to live in the moment and just be with the band and acknowledge the music and vibe with the music. And then when the ideas come, they come, and that's always what makes it super interesting.
It's been a fun fall for us, and we've been enjoying playing all these shows, so it's been great.
That's awesome. That's super exciting. I always ask this to everyone that I interview, but if you had to choose a couple songs to give someone to introduce them to your music and band, which ones would you choose and why?
I should probably pick some songs off the new record. Separation on the Surface was the first single that came out in August. Mm-hmm. It's fairly representative of us. It's a catchy song. It's a bit of a dark sounding song, and there's different elements. There's some dance elements to it and electronic elements. So that was our lead single for a reason. I thought it was a good catchy song that represented us well. There's a song called The Immigration on the new record. It's almost the closer, but it's a kind of longer epic sounding song, and it originally was actually two separate songs that we just kind of joined together because they seemed to meld well. And like I said, there's lots of different elements, lots of different parts, different time signature changes, and that's a song that we're pretty proud of as well. So those were probably two.
Nice. Yeah, I actually, Separation on the Surface and The Respondent were actually my two favorites. I really liked the way The Respondents opened up the album. Really caught my ear, and Separation on the Surface, it just like all throughout it had a really nice specific vibe to it. I actually found, I know you said it was a little bit on the darker side, but I actually found it to be weirdly energetic, maybe because it was dark. That could have just been like a personal opinion on that sense, but yeah, no, it was really nice to first hear The Respondents and have like a nice introduction to the album. And kind of set the tone for what to expect throughout the track list, which is really cool.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of cool synthesizers on that first track, The Respondent. Yeah. We thought it'd be a good sort of table setter for the record. And again, that's a song that's pretty representative of the type of music that we play and some of the things that we're going with our songwriting.
Mm-hmm. I always tell this to people on my show, but I feel like we have like this weird rise in synth right now, in the mainstream world and as well like everywhere. I feel like more and more artists and musicians are using synth, which we saw kind of like a little bit of the popularity of synth wasn't really there. I think in the early 2010s we very much went into like the rise of pop, and now we have pop with a synth. And it's always cool to see that band. So like, we've always been doing this, you know, it's like we've been here, we've known, and it's so fun because now I appreciate the synth so much more than I used to. And it's something that I always look for. And if there's a synth in a song, I'm caught, I'm hooked, I'm there, I'm obsessing over it, which is really cool. And on that note, also continuing the talk of Removal, The cover art of the album and singles was in collaboration with an artist by the name Heather Seitz. I think that's how you pronounce it, hopefully. Yeah. How was this like mystic alien-like floral concept kind of grown? Was this Heather's creative freedom and liberty on the project, or something that the band had pictured?
So that was all Heather, for Ooh. Sure. She's a really talented photographer and graphic designer in Calgary. And she also did our music videos for the two singles that we put out. And she was great. We basically gave her free rein to do whatever she wanted. She wanted to do a floral sort of theme, mm-hmm. which matched the songs and the sound of the record. And she took a few really great pictures, and we kind of decided which ones were going to be the singles and which ones were going to be the album. And they're beautiful photos, just mm-hmm. number one, you know, regardless of whether they're on an album cover or not, they're just fantastic photos. And she did our photography and she did our music videos, like I mentioned. So it was great. It was like a one-stop shop for us in Calgary. She was awesome to do, to work with. And yeah, Heather Seitz in Calgary.
Heather Seitz, awesome. A little shout out to her. I mean, she did a phenomenal job. I was looking at your profile here on Apple Music, and it very much like lays out a nice picture of what to expect on the album. It was, I say alien-like because of obviously like the colors that we see in this, on these flowers. It's not exactly something we would expect in nature, and it kind of makes it feel very magical and very like mysterious, which I feel captures definitely the songs in a very cool way.
I could stare at that picture all day long. It's just a beautiful picture.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely wonderful. I do have only one more question for you, and kind of just a nice little fun one at the end of every interview. But do you know what your favorite song is to perform during the tour? And is that something that you guys usually pick as in like, oh, like this is something that we love to play and we're going to play it for you? Or is this something that the crowd decides, like whatever they, you know, applaud most, or anything that like, you know, will get the energy bumping and your audience going?
Probably not the best PR pick, but the favorite song that we've been playing is a cover. Mm. We've been playing Karma Police by Radiohead.
Oh, cool.
It always goes down well. We've been playing that cover for quite a while, actually, but whenever we play it, you can just see people's faces lighting up in the crowd just because mm-hmm. they're like, I know this song. Start singing along, and it's just so fun to play. It's not one of ours, like I said, but it's definitely the crowd favorite, and when we play it, it's just so fun to kind of bash out. So for this particular tour, we've been playing that cover. I guess I'm ruining that a bit for Edmonton, but maybe they'll expect it now, I guess, anyway. But we'll probably retire that cover after this particular album cycle and move on to maybe something different for future shows.
Cool. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time today to speak with me and talk a little bit more about Emblematics and your recent album Removal. Definitely everyone, please go stream their album. It is phenomenal. I really, really enjoyed it myself. I will be playing a couple songs today right when we get back to our live session here on CITR 11.9 FM Vancouver on Discali. But Mike, once again, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you taking the time today and joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun.
Awesome. Cheers. All right. Cheers. Thank you. All right, now we are back. That was our interview with Mike, the lead singer off of Emblematics. It was super fun to talk to him and get to know the band, the music, and the inspiration and influences behind their latest album, Removal. And on that note, I will be playing hopefully a couple songs off of their album. I do want to play Separation on the Surface, and then maybe I can squeeze in one more. Guys, that is basically it for Discali today. Thank you so much for joining me and talking about Beach House and, you know, having this fun interview with Emblematics. I do want to announce that up next we do have Dave Radio Presents The Eclectic Lunch at noon, so definitely stick around for that. I'll see you guys next week for another Discali episode, new music. It's always fun. Thank you guys so much for joining me, and this is Separation on the Surface by Emblematics.